Right, welcome, Danny, on our season 3 of the Quiddity Property Education podcast. First of all, can I say thank you so much for taking time out of your, and I know you're a busy guy. Mm. I know, because you're all over the place. So thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak to us about your experience in property, experience in title splitting, but also what is it that you're going to be doing next as well. And genuinely, I appreciate that, because it's important for people to hear what other normal people are thinking, doing, and how do they approach property investment, and also why do it, kind of thing, you know. So Danny, before we get into the actual detail of the blogs and the courses, tell me a bit more about, you know, yourself, what do you do, and what made you come into properties?
Hi Azid, thank you for let me come in today. My journey into property started basically many years ago. I basically had to save up.
Yep.
And before property, I had my own business. I had a couple of shops. Okay. But due to COVID and circumstances, I had to sell those.
Right.
COVID hit us hard. The landlord wanted to double the rent, basically.
What was the business?
Beauty salon.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was completely shut, completely.
Yeah. So, wow. And they wanted double the rent. So I thought, okay, it's time to get out. I got out. And now I work for, actually, I'm an employee. I work for somebody.
Yeah.
But that takes up quite a lot of my time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So was that difficult, being a self-employed business person to then going back to employed status for somebody else?
Yes, it was. It was a relief for a time being, yeah, because as anyone knows, running your own business, it's 24/7.
Yes.
Even when you sleep, yeah, things pop into your head and think, oh, okay, that's what I've got to do the next day, the next week. So it's not easy. Being an employee, I think, is even harder, to be honest. Mm. You haven't got control of your destiny.
Yes.
If you don't perform well, you could get sacked any time. That's why I went into property, to build up something, an income for myself, that no matter what, the income's mine. It's already there.
Yeah.
And no one can take that away from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I do it.
And I love that. And I think, you know, like-minded people attract each other. That's why I think we get on. That's why we work together. I'm going to ask you how you came across me. But I think one of the things that it's worth touching upon what you said is, when people, and I used to have that, I worked 20 years for companies in pharmaceuticals, but I used to think, I'm secure, my job is for life. Mm. But actually, people need to realize that that's not the case. Tomorrow, for whatever reason, you could be a great performer, but the company doesn't do well. They need to cut the headcount, you're gone. You don't perform, you're gone. For whatever reason, the market changes, they'll cut you out straight away. So there is, actually, for me, it's riskier to be, and I say that now after having left maybe 10 years ago, I find it was a riskier place to be an employee than it is to then doing your own stuff, because you hold your destiny in your hands.
Yeah, because at the moment, we'll talk about that property I already got.
Yes.
That brings in an income.
Yes.
And no matter what, you know, apart from a few expenses here and there,
yeah, yeah,
that income is there.
Yeah.
That income.
And you're going to keep producing.
Yeah, keep producing.
Yeah.
And it's basically for life.
Yes.
But with the job, which I think stands for just over broke.
Yeah.
yeah. I don't blame them for what they're doing, because it's a business for them as well.
Yeah.
So they got to make money.
They've got to run
They've got to run it. Yeah. So they will cut
make
costs.
A profit. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got to cut costs here. And unfortunately, when you're an employee of the business, you're one of the things that they would cut down on.
Yeah. You're expendable.
Yeah, expendable. Yeah,
you're a costly bit to the business, but they can cut it out very quickly and reduce their cost. So I agree with you. And I think the mindset about people listening to this is, it's important to start to invest on the side. I'm not saying to people to give up their job tomorrow, but work, which we all did. You talked about savings. I saved and invested every bit of money that I was making, whether it was a bonus at the end of the year, a bonus at the quarter, my wages, I was cutting half of my wages and saving it and then buying properties. You know, it became not an addiction, but it became something that I thought, do you know what? This is my way out. And it took 15 years of consistently doing that and consistently doing that. My friends, my family, wife, everyone was like, oh, wow, this is, you know, why are you doing this? You don't really make that much money. And it's true. For the first 10 years, I wasn't really making that much money. So you then decide to say, okay, well, you got some money, I'm assuming, from the sale of the business and you wanted to kind of reinvest it in. So tell me a bit more about how you come across title splitting and then how do you decide to come and work with me on the title splitting course?
I've been following you for quite a number of years.
How many years? A couple of years?
Actually, from now is maybe about 3-4 years. When I look back at it, quite a number of years.
Wow, okay.
But it was taking the plunge into doing your course.
Yes.
With all the free stuff you was given online, I learned some.
Yeah.
So that's what made me buy my present one at the moment.
Yeah. So also you were listening to the free content, which is great.
Yeah.
And then did you ever read the book beforehand?
No, I didn't. No?
Okay.
No, I should have done.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But that was good though, because even then you were thinking, you know what, I've still got to learn enough on the kind of social media side to take the plunge to buy something.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then, so you've been following me and then what kind of then tips you over to say, actually, you know what, I'm gonna put money where my mouth is, pay for the education and come and work with this guy?
Well, it's the nitty gritty of title splitting that people don't see.
Okay.
It's the basic knowledge of buying a property, split it, get the legals done. It's not as simple as that. There's so many little parts there. There's so many little parts. Like you could look at part A and you get part A1, A2, A3.
So give us an example of some of the kind of the quirks that you've worked with on the one that you bought, the block of flats that you bought. So what's the main challenge that you found? Oh, God, I would never have known this until I got into it.
Regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Regulations. Okay. It was this, like the fire stuff.
Yes.
I think everyone knows who looks into title splitting knows about EPC and room sizes, especially when they've got the free content from you. But the regulations, fire,
tenancies, even.
Tenancies, another asbestos report.
Yes.
Things like that,
which
I've found out recently.
Yeah. So until you get into these kind of things, you don't know. So it's like the known things that you don't know what you don't know.
Yes, right.
And so then working with me on this one-to-one format of, you know, the 4 weeks of content, 6 hours after you start to then finish the 6 hour, the four hours of content, and then you start to look for your blocks and start to buy. How has that helped you? Has it helped you in the way that I've structured it, the format where you are able to access me, ask questions, and then help you along the way?
Oh, it's sometimes like having you on speed dial. I'll see a block.
Yeah.
I think, what other angle is it to that? Like recently, I just texted you the other day.
Yeah.
And then you'll reply back saying,
give us an example. That one was a 999 year leases.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Four flats.
Five flats
and two shops below.
On the picture, it didn't say. It had maybe it was like three or four shops.
Yeah.
So I asked, do you buy leasehold? And you said, yeah, I buy leasehold. But I was thinking, what other problems is it? I knew that the freeholder might stop me from splitting it.
Yeah.
But there's different angles I didn't know, which I asked you and you explained. It opened my eyes and I thought, okay, maybe I should ask the agent this question. Maybe I should ask the agent that question.
So having me on speed dial.
Yeah, on board. Yeah, a speed dial. Yeah.
Makes a bit of a difference to your journey. So you can, and again, it's one or two questions that you're asking that then either writes this deal in or writes this deal out.
Yeah.
And I think this is why I constructed my program, you know, the 4 week, 6 hour course after you've started to buy, over a 12-month period, because people are not rushing. You're not rushing to just buy anything. It's not like you go to a course for a weekend, you get lots of information, and then you walk out with lots of information, but you don't do anything with it.
I've been on a few of those courses, even those three courses. And what didn't work for me was that all the mentees were put onto one group chat.
Okay.
And if you didn't know something, you go into the group chat and you ask.
Yes.
Another mentee. And to me, it's like the blind leading the blind.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yes. Or if somebody didn't know, they might not want to tell you because it's a conflict of interest,
of course,
isn't it?
Because you're competing against each other now.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. So, but when I speak to you or text you, I get an answer straight away. And the answer is genuine.
Yeah.
It tells me what to look for,
yeah,
what to do, and what angle I should look at. And since doing the course, when I look at these properties, whether it's commercial,
yeah,
mixed use or blocks,
yeah,
I look at the angle.
Yes.
What's in it? How can I navigate around it?
Yes.
To make it work. And if it doesn't work, okay, walk away, yeah, look at another one.
Yeah. Because I think that's the bit that I like, because we're not looking at a building in one dimensional way.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
are the extra exits we can have?
Yeah.
So for example, if you've got the two shops, can you then sometime cut them out and then refinance just the block of flats above to take your money out, and then the two shops stay as kind of passive income generated.
Yeah.
So talking about your block that you bought up north, how did you find that building to begin with?
On the internet, then popped up on the auction site.
Okay, so it was an auction purchase.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
So,
and did you buy it during the auction, before the auction, after the auction?
During the auction, which was a bit nerve-wracking because the price was going up. It was, the guy price was between 200 to 220.
Yeah. Thought, and how many flats were there?
Four flats.
Four flats, okay.
I thought I could live with that.
Yeah.
And then I think about a week before the auction, the guy price went up from 200 to 250. I thought, okay, there must be some interest in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But that's auction tactics for you sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They can see how many people are registering for that.
Yeah.
Especially now online, they know exactly how many people have registered, downloaded the pack. So it's quite a bit of a game. So they know, there's quite an interest here. Let's try and push the guide a little bit higher.
Yeah.
So he was like, guide at 250. How much did you end up paying for it?
250.
250 on the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So you've got four flats now, 250 on one freehold, mm-hmm, that you're gonna title split. So how much, what out of 10, the condition wise, so one is terrible, 10 is amazing, 5-star hotel. What was that? Those conditions of those flats like?
Three of the flats, I'd say one of the flats is on a 10.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Amazing.
One of the flats, the other two flats, I would say on about 8.
Okay.
So they're still good.
Okay. Very good.
The other one, I would say that was on a, I'll say on a 1 or 2.
Oh, what? Because, that bad? Wow.
Yeah, because he left. He was living there, but he was living like a squatter.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so there's a mess everywhere. The units were damaged.
Wow.
Carpets was heavily stained.
Oh, and then he'd been there for a while?
It's then there, no, about 2 years.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So what
was your strategy then when you saw that? Did you keep him? What was your thoughts? How are you going to renovate this?
Well, the agent, when I bought that, the managing agent contacted me, says he's already managing. Would I like them to continue?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I said, I'll continue managing.
Yeah.
And then he told me that that tenant was planning to leave. Okay, if he's going to leave.
Thank God.
Yeah. I'll renovate it. But the way he left it, I had to...
So he did leave?
Yeah, he did leave. Yeah. But his deposit obviously didn't cover.
No.
His
no.
deposit or something like £400 didn't cover the renovations.
Yeah. So how much... Was it a one-bed flat?
That's a one-bed flat.
And how much did that cost you ballpark to kind of renovate that back?
About $5,000.
Right. Okay, five. It is, again, it's not crazy money.
Yeah, but
when you think about it,
it's still $5,000.
Yeah, it's still $5,000. Of course, it's still $5,000. But out of the four flats, you had three that were pretty much top end.
Yeah.
And then you ended up renovating one extra one at $5,000.
Mm.
Okay. On entry, what was the rent on that block?
$22,400.
Okay. And now that you've done, after that, you renovated, you re-rented all four flats, 22,000 went up to what?
29.
Wow. 29,000?
Yeah, it's 29 now because...
Wow, that's a massive uplift.
They haven't raised the rents in all those years.
Yes.
And I said to agent, what is the rent in this area? He told me, I said, and it hasn't been raised. I said, we've got to raise it.
Yeah,
so
good.
I've continued. I don't see why people don't raise the rent. You're just leaving money on the table.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
They don't want to upset the tenant.
Yeah. Long-term landlords. They've got another business. This is not their main business.
Yeah.
So a lot of people ask me, say, do you know what? Hang on. I don't believe this 22,000 is going to go to 29,000. No way. Why have they not done that beforehand? Or why has the landlord left it that low? And the answers are very simple. Old landlord, retiring, cannot be bothered, used it for a different purpose just to park some money in.
Yeah.
And then we come in as investors in properties to optimize the rent. Mm-hmm. You're getting a 30% uplift in your rent. That's ridiculous.
But because I look at the sums and I think, if I don't do that, then there's not much. Well, there is money, but there's not much. Why aren't you to putting up the rent?
Exactly.
Why are you giving away free money?
Like you said, you're leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you've got it. So when you bought it at 250, let's say you spend 255 with a bit of here and there, 270. What's the block value worth now?
Well, I would say it's worth, it should be worth at least 300 to 320 because the property next door is only less than half the size.
Yeah.
And about 12 years ago, it was sold for 160.
Yeah.
So when I've done my calculations about and how much percentage a property rises in that area, I calculate mine to be about 320.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you come to remortgage, the mortgage company look at a different view, and to safe bet themselves, they downvalue it.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
And different areas will have a higher downvaluation than others. Mm. And I think that's the key bit about it. But I guess, obviously you bought this before you did the course with me, and we went through the whole logic of where to source, what to source, how to deal analyze them. More importantly, will they value up for that GDV?
Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, I still think you pay 255, it's worth 325. You still uplifted your value around 70-odd K by pretty much spending $5,000. That's still a very good deal, okay? Mm. It's not, I guess the question I'm going to ask you is, would it now be a deal, knowing what you've learned from the course and with me, how to analyze, would you still buy this deal? Knowing what you know now?
Maybe not so much.
Why?
Because I think when I bought it, the maximum I should have paid was 220.
Okay.
So I paid about $30,000 more.
Yeah. So almost the original guide price was probably about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But if I didn't buy it and wait for the next one, I don't know how long I'll wait.
Correct.
So for me, it was, okay, I paid a little bit more.
Yeah.
I looked at the property. It had all the right things that you spoke about for title splitting.
Yeah.
The property was in very, very good condition.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a stepping stone to my next one.
Yes. And sometimes you just have to take actions, right?
Yeah, yeah. If I make the... Because nobody's going to buy the first property and it'd be 100% game changer.
Yeah, like a perfect purchase.
Yeah.
100% agree. But on the flip side, there's two mechanisms that I always look for. Do we recycle all or as much as our money out?
Yeah.
And two, do we make passive income on them as we've refinanced out? The second one, all day long, you're making decent passive income, which is, that's what we get to spend, right?
Yeah.
The first part, the recycling of money, you're probably not 100%, but you're not that far off. So overall, when we spoke about it at the end, it's not the worst deal. You could have bought a lot worse deal, but like you say, if you'd got it $30,000 less, you would have been in a much better shape. Yeah. But ultimately, if I had to make a decision of saying, do you buy it, do you not buy it? I'd still say buy it because of the rental income that you're making, I think. And also, you've jumped in.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Both
yeah.
feet you've got to do. So now, thinking about your experience on this, having done the course, and now you're back on the market, your money's ready to reinvest. I know we're speaking about, you know, on credit sourcing to help you find something. Has the course given you that much more confidence now to then get you to propel you to the next one? And are you intending to carry on buying blocks of flats?
Oh, definitely. With my knowledge now, I know it's still not... I'm still learning, basically. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
With my knowledge now, I can look at something and assess it better. If there's a small part that I don't know, well, I'll text you anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why I'm constantly looking. It's like I've only got about, say, about 3 hours a day looking because of
that's amazing.
My day job.
Yeah. But that's amazing. That consistency. Mm. I always say to people, I'd rather you do half an hour every day than to do 5 hours on a Saturday and then you don't do it for a week.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're consistent is really good.
Because if you just do 5 hours on a Saturday, you'll miss a lot.
Exactly.
Because
today somebody's listing a property.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, they're going to do another one and another. So, but if you look at it on Saturday, somebody like me and you have already bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you probably.
So, okay. So last thing, what's your biggest takeaway? Not just about property, but about yourself, about the mindset that you've kind of now got to having, you know, bought property. Yeah. But listen, you were already a businessman. You were already, you've done employee. You are investing already. Mm. What's the biggest mindset change that you find yourself, say, from last year to this year?
To look at property is consistency. Mm. Yeah. Instead of thinking, okay, one day I'll look, I'll have a rest, go on holiday, come back and look. No. Yeah. It's every day. It's continuous.
Yeah.
It's another full-time job,
yeah.
But this full-time job is for yourself. So the more you put in,
yeah,
the more you get out.
Yeah, and it's your exit, right? That is our exit.
Oh, that's
otherwise,
my exit, yeah.
We're stuck in the day job forever, yeah. And they dictate our life.
Yeah, because I've already got income from the step block.
Yeah,
I know that how many more units I've got to buy to get out of, step away from my day job.
Yeah,
and it's basically as a legacy for my kids.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
they can carry on.
Yeah, and I think that's important. You know, part of it is for us. Part of it is we're building something for somebody else,
yeah,
for the future. And you started because people sometimes say, "Well, you know, how much money do I need to get into this strategy?" What was your kind of startup capital when you first started with this?
When I had about 280,
yeah,
but 30 of them, 30 got spent.
Yeah,
so I had 250.
250.
So when I bought that at auction property, that was my max.
Yes, yes, that's the maximum you could have actually afforded to do.
Yeah, well, I had a little bit more to pay for the legal stamp duty,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah,
but that was my maximum. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And would you say, do you need 250 to get into this strategy? Having now looked and you know how much these buildings cost, using leverage. What would you say is the almost the minimum amount somebody needs to be thinking about when they come into this title split?
I would say between 50 to 100.
Yeah.
But it depends on your strategy, what area, parts of the country you look for.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because different, you know, for obvious reason, different parts are cheaper, higher up. Yeah. And you're looking at your risk on maybe certain areas.
Yeah.
The rent you can get from certain areas. So,
yeah.
With my capital, sometimes I'm, I don't know, maybe a bit picky.
Yeah.
Of what I look at.
Yes, yes.
Because I don't want to buy something that maybe have a high turnover tenants.
Yeah, yeah. Or poor area.
Poor area, yeah.
In condition wise, poor air in condition wise. Well, I think for me, 100,000 is probably that kind of money is actually a fair amount of money to come in, because you're leveraged full time. You're buying blocks around 400,000,
yeah,
and you'll get lots of blocks around 300,000 to 400,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so Danny, my last question for you is: if here's somebody listening to this thing and saying, "You know what? I'm thinking about going to this guy's one-to-one training. It's quite a lot of money. Should I do it? Should I not do it?" What would your advice be to them?
If you've got the money, I'll say do it. It's basically, do you want to buy the wrong property?
Yeah.
And lose money? Or because if you lose money, you could lose more than what you pay for the course.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's, and the support structure?
The support structure is great.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying it is. I've learned so much, not just on the one-to-one course, but after the course of speaking to yourself, texting you the links to the properties that I'm looking at, and you're giving me feedback on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stuff I look at is not a one size fits all.
Yes.
You can see the different angles that I can't see for different types of property, and that's what makes it great.
And what I like to say to people is, I mean, I've said that to all of my mentees, it's not a transactional thing. It's not like, you know, you get the course, you get the information and it's done.
Yeah.
I want people to succeed. That's what I do. That's what I want to teach people. That's what I want to help people to get the ultimate output is the passive income.
Mm.
And that's why I do it. And that's why you see me so responsive to help people to you know, with their questions.
Yeah. I'm still learning. I know whatever I ask you, you're letting me know. So it's always great. Yeah.
But on that note, Danny, thank you so much for taking the time to come in, speak about your experience, speak about your journey. But more importantly, I very much look forward to hosting you once we get your next block bought, start to work and refinance that. So then we can start progressively looking at your journey and how well you've done over time. And more importantly, you'll be telling me, okay, do you know what? I've canned that job now and I'm now focusing full-time on property.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Great. But listen, thank you so much. And we will see you definitely. I will definitely be talking to you about some of the other deals that you're getting on anyway.
I'm glad to be here.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Cheers.